And now if you'll turn into your pew Bible to page 627 in the Hebrew Bible, and it is found in the large print Bible on page 816. The title of this is God's People Are Comforted, Isaiah 40. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all the people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice cries out, and I said, what shall I cry? All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. Then the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him, and his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So far I forgot to tell you guys verse 11, so I'm going to do verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep. And now if you'll join me for the responsive Psalms reading, it's on page 806 in the United Methodist Hymnal. Lord, you showed favor to your land, and you restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You pardoned all their sins. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God will speak, for the Lord will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to the Lord in their hearts. Surely salvation is at hand for those who fear the Lord, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground, and righteousness will look down from the sky. The Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before the Lord and make God's footsteps a way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 15a. It can be found on page 224 of the New Testament Pew Bible. If you're using the larger print edition, it's on page 289. But do not ignore this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a loud noise, and the elements will be dissolved with fire, and the earth and everything that is done on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, what sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set ablaze and dissolved, and the elements will melt with fire? But in accordance with his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. Therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. At this time, my sisters and brothers, I would invite you, if you are able, to stand for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, can be found on page 32 in your New Testament Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along on page 42 in the large print edition. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So I thought I might begin the sermon this morning with a slight retelling of the creation story from the book of Genesis. As you all know, in the beginning, God did create the heavens and the earth. You may not know that he was quickly faced with a class action lawsuit for his failure to file an environmental impact statement. God was granted a temporary permit for the project, but was hit with a cease and desist order for the earthly part. Appearing at the public hearing, God was asked by the bureaucrats and officials why he began his earthly project in the first place. God replied that he just liked being creative. Then God said, "Let there be light." But the officials immediately demanded to know how the light would be made. Would there be thermal pollution? God explained that the light would come from a huge ball of fire in the sky called the sun. God was granted provisional permission to make this sun, assuming that no smoke would result from it. And to conserve energy, he had to agree to have the light out half the time. God did agree, and he said, "I will call the light day and the darkness night." The bureaucrats replied that they were not interested in semantics. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth green plants and many seeds." The EPA agreed so long as only native seed was used. Then God said, "Let the waters bring forth creeping creatures having life and birds that may fly through the air." Officials pointed out immediately, now this would require approval from the Department of Game, coordinated with the Heavenly Wildlife Federation. Despite all this, everything was still moving along, albeit slowly, until God said he planned to complete this creation project in just 6 days. "Oh, no," said the officials. They informed God it would take at least 200 days to review the application and impact statements, And after that, there would be a series of public hearings. And at this point, God created hell. Well, I'm sure most of you have had your own experiences dealing with bureaucracy and waiting. It's become part of modern life, really, for most of us. I was looking online and someone actually figured out that the average American will spend 2 to 3 years of our life sitting at traffic lights, another 6 months of our life waiting in line, and 43 days of our life being on hold on the telephone. But the good news is that God so loved the world, he didn't send a bureaucracy. He sent us his son. And today, Christians all around the world, including us, are in the second week of Advent, which is the church's own waiting time in our liturgical calendar. I think, as most of you know, Advent is that period of 4 Sundays just before Christmas when we celebrate the incarnation, the birth of Jesus Christ, God made flesh, who came out of love to share our human condition. This season of waiting is also symbolized by the Advent wreath on our communion table. The circle of this wreath reminds us of God himself, his eternity and endless mercy, which has no beginning and no end. The green color of the wreath speaks to the hope that we have in our God, the hope of newness, renewal, and eternal life. The candles symbolize the light of God gradually coming into the world as we approach the birth of his son. And the 4 outer candles themselves actually symbolize the 4 centuries of waiting time between the Hebrew prophet Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, and the birth of Christ 400 years later in the New Testament. So 4 candles, 400 years of waiting. Now, all this talk about waiting reminds me about how bad I am at it, usually. I don't know if it's because I'm half German and I really appreciate punctuality and order, but I would imagine none of us enjoys being stuck in traffic or suffering through a long sermon that messes up our lunch plans. But of all people, we Christians should know how to wait, because we know that God's time is different from our time. We are not the ultimate masters of God's cosmic schedule and calendar. Often we're not even masters of our own calendar. Even in our own personal relationships, we often fail to live fully into the promise of our days, toward those times when, as the scripture said, steadfast love and faithfulness will meet, and righteousness and peace will kiss each other. But God does call us to trust in God's own time. And the waiting that we are called to, as Pastor Will reminded us in his sermon last week, is not a passive waiting or a do-nothingness. We are invited, in fact, to be among those voices in the wilderness that the prophet Isaiah mentions. Hear those words again. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So here at Burns United Methodist Church, we are engaged in all kinds of ministries in the community to witness to the glory and coming of our Lord. And you know all of these ministries: Kairos Prison Ministries, the clothing and food drives for the poor and the hungry in Aurora, mentoring high school youth into the ways of peace and conflict resolution, and joining with our larger United Methodist sisters and brothers in curbing malaria in Africa and Asia. So we are not idle while we wait, trusting in God's good time. Instead, we are like John the Baptist, announcing the coming kingdom with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and with signs and actions of faithfulness. So in the end, it's how we wait that really matters and sets us apart from all the other folks in our world who do very good and admirable things. For you see, the kingdom of God that we long for is not identical to any country or organization or human achievement. In fact, the kingdom of God isn't even identical with the church. But we are called as the church to witness to God's kingdom while we wait for its fulfillment. Second Peter reminds us, therefore, beloved, while you are waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation. Now, that's a tall order. How many of you, by the way, are without spot or blemish? Yeah, me neither. We're not all that different than anybody else, except for the very important fact that we have an advocate to help us, Jesus the Christ, who, as the Gospel of Mark tells us, baptizes with the fire of the Holy Spirit, so that regardless of our own shortcomings, we are all inducted as disciples into God's grand adventure of salvation. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, called this grand adventure a journey toward Christian perfection. I know not many of us here today would claim perfection for ourselves, but Wesley described Christian perfection very clearly as the loving of God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, so that no wrong temper, none contrary to Christ's love, remains in the soul, and that all the thoughts, words, deeds, and actions are governed by this love, even though we be subject at the same time in our mortal bodies to infirmities, ignorance, and mistakes. So, my sisters and brothers, on this day, like every Sunday, we gather together in hope and anticipation as the body of Christ. And we do bring all of our infirmities, our ignorance, and our mistakes with us, just as we are. But be assured that God will not leave us just as we are, because God loves each and every one of you far too much for that. So, on this Advent season, what are you waiting for? Maybe our God is waiting for us. Amen.